What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Impel Forward Podcast.
Yes.
We got somebody special here today. Great businesswoman.
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce her, Renee.
You know, I thought it was a good idea to close out Women's History Month with, you know, a boss. And when I say a boss in the industry, I mean a boss in the industry. We have Miss Mavis here. Miss Mavis, mom, wife, serial business owner, mentor to all, the, you know, queen of the pixie cut. That's what I was told, and that's what gravitated me to her. You know, queen of all things great and beautiful. We have Miss Mavis Peaks here.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
This is exciting. Yeah.
Well, I heard a lot about you in the streets over the years, so it's good to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard about you from different sources, different names. Mavis does hair, this and that. And when she finally, I don't know, she asked me, "See, you heard of Mavis Peaks?" I said, "I heard of her. I don't know her like that, or I ain't never met her, but I heard of her." And she was excited getting her hair done by you.
Yeah,
we talked a little bit, and she went on and on about you. So it must be something about you.
Yes, I want to tell you how I found out about you. I was on some group, Durham group chat, and it's so crazy because I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I did the short natural for a while. I want to try a pixie cut. And in my mind, I'm like, who can I go to for a pixie cut, you know, closer to me in Durham, that really knows about hair care and the healthier hair. And somebody, I don't know, somebody must have read my brain or something, because in this group chat, somebody said, who does good pixie cuts in Durham, North Carolina? And when I tell you, everybody was like, Mavis, Mavis, Mavis. And I was like, and I clicked, I was like, wait, first I was a little intrigued because I don't think you were a part of the group chat, right? So I was like, hold on, let me peek. So I went to your little page and I looked, I was like, oh, okay. And I think you were doing a live. And I was like, hold on, let me watch your live real quick. And somebody was, you were doing a hair, but you were kind of doing a virtual consultation at the same time and asking about all of her health and everything about her. And I was like, wow. And I was like, okay, hold on, don't get too excited. So I was like, okay. Then I think like a week or so later, I started following you. And I was like, okay, she's doing another live. I peeked in again. I kind of peeked in, peeked out. And I was like, okay. And I was just like, you know, I'm not going to get too excited. Then you started just coming up again. It was like, then my Explorer page. I was like, wait a minute. Who is this lady? And then all of a sudden, you're popping up on my Facebook. Then even on IG, I was like, okay, that's it. Then you posted it on there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in. Let me go. When you posted virtual appointments now open, I was racing on the phone. Let me get in. But before we kind of get into one of your many business endeavors.
Wait. I saw you. What's the guy named the barber? Is it Morano? Is that how you say his name?
Who?
Morano? The dude.
Yeah.
I saw you. Because I follow him too. And he was on my live one. Well, on my feed one. And y'all was doing a live. And that's why. I think that's why I initially saw you at. And heard you talking. You was talking with him. Y'all was going back and forth.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Yep. And he told me too. And I was like, because Leon is my barber, right? So when we were talking, I was like, I'm thinking about getting a relaxer. I'm gonna get a pixie cut. He was like, for real? I said, yeah. I said, and then he was like, who gonna do it? I said, I think I'm gonna go to this lady. Her name is Mavis Peaks. He was like, oh, I heard about her. I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna do it, right? And so he was like, yeah, I heard she real good. And then he knew somebody and knew you, and he, you know, kind of reached out, and he was like, yeah, she real good. She real good. So I was like, yeah, I'm telling you. And that was what, like three weeks ago, right? Told you, that's really? How long I've been like really contemplating this jump. I was talking to him about it. I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
Thank you.
But we want to get into who Mavis Peaks is. Tell the world. I mean, we bragged about you. We told some of the things about you, but we want to know more about Mavis Peaks?
Mavis Peaks. Let me see what you can say about her. I'm a mom. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mentor. I love servicing our community, trying to empower our community, especially our Black women, on a couple of platforms that I'm participating in. And I'm a businesswoman. Try to be a beacon in my community. That's what I love, trying to, you know, help our community as much as possible. And that's what I do.
Are you originally from Durham?
No. I'm originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut. But what they say, if you've been here over 10 years, guess what? You're a Durhamite.
Is that what it is?
You've been over 10 years.
It's been over 10 years. Yeah.
A long time.
There you go.
I heard about you a long, long time ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A mother of two, right?
A mother of two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michael and Madison. Super excited. Those were my rocks because, you know, my past that I went through, that if it wasn't for them, you know, I don't know where I would be without them today. So my daughter, 21, huh?
I said, tell us more about that. What you mean your past, what you went through?
I lost a mother, brother, and a husband. Buried all three.
Really? Around the same time? Because I don't think we talked about this.
No, probably about a couple years apart from each other. I lost my brother first. That was the rock of the family. Leroy Joyner, if you ever heard of him. Cosmo, whoever went to Durham High, whatever. He died in a car accident with my husband.
Really?
My husband survived and he passed. And then 2 years later, my mother passed. And then I think about 4 years later, my husband passed.
Wow. How was it? And how was it dealing with your husband being, you know, your husband being in the same car with your brother and your, you know, your brother not surviving that? How was it for you?
That was really hard because I thought my husband was driving. Mm-hmm. And I've got to the hospital. I'm like, okay, I'm not thinking about you.
Right.
And actually I passed the crash site going to the hospital.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Didn't know they was, you know, lifting the truck up or what have you. Get to the hospital. My brother, I was in another room. He was in another room. And they had state troopers at the door. I was like, why is it still didn't know what took place. And they was like, well, then, you know, he was in an automobile accident. It was trying to get, you know, really the truth of how the accident took place or what have you. But mm-hmm. once he came to and everything calmed down, state trooper did declare that the way the accident took place or whatever, they were just driving and came off the curve and he tried to correct it and it flipped. Right. My husband went through the sunroof. My husband and my brother went through the windshield. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no listeners for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, was your mother had an illness?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about your husband? How did he die?
Motorcycle accident on his way home. This happened in 2017. Michael Peaks. Yes, he was on his way home, 10 minutes away from home. And that was like, why is the state trooper calling me? Why is the state trooper standing at my door and telling me my husband isn't coming home? So it didn't really hit me until like next day because, you know, everybody's like in a state of shock. Like, you say he's at the morgue? Where is that at? No, you still in shock. Like, I'm not getting this. Until the next day, the funeral home called us, you know, saying it was going to pick him up and we can, you know, come there to see him. But again, it's like, how am I going to tell my son and daughter that their father isn't coming home?
Yeah.
It was really devastating for my son.
Yeah, I know it had to be hard.
It was like, I was a wife, now I become a single parent, you know, I mean, I have to do everything now. Everyone is looking at me and what we're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just the grace of God and just understanding the power that he has, it was amazing. You know, I turned all of that anger into transforming who I am today.
Right.
Wow.
And I owe it to them, and I still owe it to them. So.
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. She talk about her son and her daughter. But while we're talking about the kids, let's talk about the daughter, because she's graduating soon, right?
Yeah, she's graduating from A&T. She's going to work with Bloomberg in New York. Just so excited for her. She has done amazing things. She also has a product line. She's a very entrepreneur like her mom. She has a product line and a marketing company that she runs as well.
Good for her. What type of products does she sell?
Lashes and lip gloss.
Ooh, we'll have to give her a link so we can put it on that. We can tag it, her link.
Okay. I think I did. Did I show you her page?
I don't know, but I'll definitely get it and we'll add it.
Yeah, OHK Collection and OK Graphics. And then my son, you know, the 13-year-old mama's boy trying to find himself. That type of kid.
And he's tall. I thought he was her brother. When I saw the pictures, I was like, I know that this is not your son.
That's my buddy. That's my buddy.
He is a growing boy. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about you being, you know, a widow and all of the, you know, adversity you've overcome and being a mom. And now, you know, still newlywed wife, right? Let's talk about that. How did
look, Renee always stealing my questions. I'm looking at that ring on your finger. I'm like, you're married.
Is married. That's what it, you know, and I told her, you know, she is a beacon to us all. So, you know, let's talk about this beautiful love story and how you met your husband. That is very nice, by the way. I got a chance to meet him too, as well. Very nice.
I'm still smiling because, you know, he put the what a man says, what a man wants, a man gonna do.
100%.
And he displayed that from the day I met him. I was widowed for 5 years, and I was at a party. It was actually my sister's husband as his uncle. I mean, I've seen him, you know, a couple of times or what have you. I didn't think anything of it. So he just kept after me. And I'm like, what do I want with this old man? You know,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, who is older? Yeah, he's 70, but he's super gorgeous. Yes. Oh, he is. I can't even tell. Let me show you a picture.
You see that? Very nice. Okay. Beautiful couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Oh. Okay. But he's from St. Louis, and we talked briefly before he flew back, and I was saying like, what do you want with me? You stay in St. Louis. He was talking about the plane. Doesn't the plane fly? I'm like, sure. I said, okay then.
He matched her mouth. It don't make no sense.
Before we go any further, I'm one of the ones who don't believe in that you can't ask a woman how old she is. So I'm going to ask you. You can either say, tell me or not tell me. How old are you?
How old do I look?
Sometimes I like to judge people off me, so I'm 48. So I'm going to give you about, I'm going to say 50.
There you go.
You might be my age, but I'm just going to give you.
There you go.
My sis look good.
How old are you?
Okay.
51. See?
Look good.
I'm always pretty good.
Girl, you don't look a day. Don't look a day over 44. Stop playing.
he ain't that much older than you then.
20 years older. Yeah. But I love an older man now. He just put these gray foxes out here, honey.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. But he kept coming for 7 months straight and what have you. And, you know, him and my sister were talking. He was like, she going to be my wife. And I was like, I'm not getting married. I don't even like you like that. It was like after 3 months, he was like, you know how men think they're going to get something like the 90-day rule, honey. I was like, no, this American Express, honey. Express, the black card have its privileges.
Right.
No, if you want this, you're going to have to chase this. So he flew in every month and what have you, or when he was out the country or traveling somewhere, he would say, come pick up your ticket. And I was out. We was out. Like in those seven months, it was, when was it? After my birthday, we went to Usher. We was in Vegas and what happened. He didn't ask me in Vegas because he was kind of like hinting around, like, you want to get married? I'm like, no, don't want to get married. He had the ring. Mm-hmm. He asked like 2 weeks later when he flew back in. And I was like, okay, sure. 7 months. Okay.
How long had you been a widow
before? Five and a half years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I was staying true to the game. I'm like, dudes out here, no, I'm good. Right. I was living my best life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got locked down by 70.
In seven months.
He wasn't 70 at the time, but.
Huh?
He's 70 now, right?
He's 70, yes.
Yeah, he wasn't 70 at the time. But.
Mm-hmm. No, he was 68.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All in 7 months, then we got engaged. He proposed. We did our little anniversary thing in 2 months. And then in 2 months, 3 months later, we was married.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Quick, amazing. When a man know what he want when he see it.
I'm still kind of speechless myself because everything I wanted in a man, that my expectation, what I want in a man, that was him.
So what did your son What did your son and daughter think of it?
Well, age?
I know Emma was ultimately is you and your relationship, but you know.
What did you say?
What did they think about the age?
Well, the key was that I'm glad you found someone because I was addicted to their lives. I wanted to impart in their lives, in my daughter's life. And my daughter was like, no, you can't do that. Can we hang out? No, we can't do that. You need a man. And I was like in her butt. I'm like, what you doing? I'm calling her like what have you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So she wanted me to find someone that's going to kind of take, you know, kind of move that time or shift that time to someone else instead of always bugging her.
Right. That's understandable.
That's amazing. What you said during the 7 months, what did he show you differently than, you know, some of the other guys I'm sure that were, you know, trying to talk to you and, you know, get with you? What did he do different?
I think for him, that kind of made me kind of like, okay, let me try this out, was that I had standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on the table. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. This is who I'm going to be in the relationship, in the relationship, and in the relationship. I still had my own identity. And I think what women do today, they lose their identity thinking that, okay, this is the man for me. When he would leave and what have you, or Friday or Saturday night come, he would say like, what you doing? Going out on a date? He was like, you're dating? It's called dating. There's nothing wrong with going to get a free meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to kind of like irk him when he was like a free man. I said, when you take me out, what are you doing? Paying for my meal? What is it? There's nothing wrong with a free meal and conversation. Mm-hmm. But the key is where the conversation begins and ends. I can go out with you on a date and keep it strictly platonic and keep it moving. You know, I was in control of that. And I think that's what the feistiness in me, I said, because you're going to chase this because, you know, we know in the game, once you give up the cookies, the chase is over. No, you're going to have to chase this. You're going to have to know this.
Mm-hmm.
The mental.
Thank
because God. I have a lot here to offer.
I know that's right. Period.
It's very intriguing, and you need to sit down because I'm like a book. You need to read the book, honey.
Straight shooter over here.
Mm-hmm. How let's talk about this hair. How long you been doing hair?
Over 20 years.
Hold on. Before we get to the hair, there's another unique part about this marriage.
What?
What's the other unique part, Mavis, about the marriage and how well you guys get along right now?
What?
He lives where?
He's in St. Louis. The best marriage ever. He comes home 10 days a month.
Mm-hmm.
And what keeps it so unique and so exciting, we're looking forward to seeing each other. And we creating and strategizing how we're going to spend the 10 days when he's here.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, I think what makes it unique, and I was talking to her about it, is that a lot of, for the most part, she keeps her same routine, right? That, you know, sometimes, and we do as women, we get lost in the relationship or the marriage, and we tend to not take care of ourselves, or we forget our routine, or we no longer want to do it. One thing that I think that makes it very unique with her is that not only does she keep her same routine, but also he's built this routine around her when he's, you know, here in North Carolina mm-hmm. with his wife. So they mm-hmm. both have separate routines, but he also, you know, supports hers and her endeavors as well, which I think is really great. So he's very involved in the business aspect, but also he allows her to be the boss that she is in her business.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. We add to each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whatever works for the couple. That's what I mm-hmm.
say. I think the long distance might be the long distance relationship and marriages might be the new thing. It might be the new thing.
Yeah. Oh. Next month is a year. So we May is a year. And we've been doing this for a year. And it's exciting. I go there. Either he comes here.
Listen, I'm not opposed to it at mm-hmm. all. At all.
But I want him here. I want him here. I'm gonna tell him, I'm gonna give you about 90 days. You got to come home.
Yeah. Well, you ain't getting
you need to be a virtual dad and a virtual. We can't continue to do this. Yeah, you got to come home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's so nice. He's so down for it. When I talk to him, he's like, whatever Mavis wants.
Whatever I want.
Whatever Mavis wants. So nice. All right, you can go ahead and ask your question.
No, I just wanted to ask how long she's been doing. Has she said 20 years? What made you start? Get into the hair business?
It started when I was a child, 14 years old, doing hair. And I was obsessed looking at MTV. Remember the MTV Awards used to come on? I would always dream how I can be that, do that, and enjoy it. The creativity of hair, that's what I was always fascinated about. Mm-hmm. It was always a challenge to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you own sweets?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have two salons, and I built them out as salon suites. Yes, because I think you have to look at how the industry is changing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So long years. It was before the salon suites hit. I had a guy talking to me about salon suites. I don't think it was any in Durham when he talked to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what he was talking about. And I didn't pursue it. I ain't look at nothing. I ain't do nothing. But mm-hmm. get on, start seeing salon suites. Salon suites.
Because people get their own privacy.
Right.
It's like booth rental, but it's a new name, the salon suite per se. You're still renting a room. Same thing, leasing, renting. But the salon suite sounds cute.
So how has it been for you?
Fine. Great. Because like I said, the couple of suites that I do have rented out. Mm-hmm. I don't see the young ladies. They go in their room. I do my thing. They do their thing and makes everything just lovely.
Mm-hmm. How was the process of getting that started? Was it hard? How did you get funding?
I did a lot of research. I mm-hmm. flew to Atlanta to meet a young lady that has over 100 salon suites. She's a mogul. In Atlanta. Snoop out of Atlanta.
I was about to say, wait, are you talking about Snoop? Yes, I had a feeling that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I took her class. We was going to collaborate as far as trying to bring a Remy salon suite here. But again, mm-hmm. if you take the blueprint or what have you and put it into play, I mean, you'll get the similar results, but hers is on a whole new level. How she does her blueprint.
Yeah, I saw her talk about it a couple times.
Mm-hmm. But again, just getting a building and understanding the square footage that's in the salon suites. You can get between 70 to 125 square feet of space. And then you can either be a bare room or supply the room with a chair and a bowl or what have you. In my salon suites, I do the whole setup of the room, and all they have to do is come in and design it.
So how many do you have in each suite? You said you have two suites, right?
Yes, I have two buildings.
Okay.
And I think one is about six, and I do have four stations on the floor. I'm claustrophobic, so I can't be in a room.
I was going to ask you, like, yours is a little, your setup is a little bit different, but yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm claustrophobic. It's just too small. But I'm on the floor, but I have five suites now. I have four active suites in one space, and then three in another, my other space. My other space is beside Shrimp Shack.
Yeah, speaking of that, so you don't, we're going to get to that. You don't, do you feel like you got years left in doing hair?
Of course. Okay. But the key is that I've been doing hair 20 years. You know, your back starts to mess with you, your thumbs, your hands start to kind of mess with you. But the key is that is thinking of a exit plan. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you totally step away from the chair. That means what other revenue that I have working for me in case that I either had to step away or illness, what have you, that my standard of living will still go on.
Right. So segue into, I'm going to let Renee talk about this since she's been there, ate and did all that. I just mentioned it, the Scrimp Shack. It's Scrimp, y'all. It ain't Shrimp, it's Scrimp Shack.
Oh, yeah. I was able to, you know, experience Mavis doing my hair. One thing I do and I appreciate about her is her, of course, you have to do a virtual consultation with her first before she'll even touch new clients, right? Mm-hmm. But she was very accepting, and I love that, because I told her, I was like, listen, I don't need for you to tell me all these things and natural hair and curly and relaxed hair. If I'm hiring you, I'm hiring you to do my hair. Like, mm-hmm. No, not me, you. And she was like, okay. And I said, every 2 weeks? Oh, she was like, yeah, okay. You know, and so that's one thing I appreciate about her is, you know, I think her niche is really teaching. She's a great teacher. If you watch her lives, you know, she really discussed, you know, healthy hair and what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of stylists should do that. And I think that's your niche. I think that's mm-hmm. your calling is being a teacher. I think it separates you from a lot of these other stylists who just go directly to, you know, relaxing hair or charging mm-hmm. $500 for a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you see that it was needed, especially within the Black woman community, to kind of to discuss, you know, that our hair and the needs and what we put in our body?
When you take on this industry or take on this profession, guess what? We are considered doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where when you go to the doctor and he'll give you a word, uka, nuka, nuka, whatever. And you look at your bill, your hospital bill, he'll charge you $500.
Mm-hmm.
By using the proper terminology, by using and understanding what's going on with us, because I'm paying you to tell me what's going on with me.
Yeah.
So I always put myself on that pedestal to constantly research, understand, the hair challenges in the Black community. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're coming to me and I can't tell you what's going on with your hair? You're feeling adequate.
Yeah.
I'll charge you $200 or $300 and you still back to square one. If I'm not happy, I would not accept your money if I can't be a service to you. That's just my motto. And I stand by what I tell you. So that goes into researching and understanding. I've always been a researcher. I love this industry. I want to understand what's going on in the internal body, what we do and everything. Just like when we have a lot of illnesses in our community, guess what? It's lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do. I want to seek the knowledge and pay it forward. Because guess what? With women, hair is our glory. And if you can't tell me what's going on with my hair, guess what? I'm no use to you. So
trust me, with men, hair is a glory too.
Of course, you know, the industry has really changed as far as careers. You have barbers that are now number one in the industry. You mm-hmm. have estheticians, you have knit the eyebrows, the makeup, everything. It's changing. We're like number five and six on the total poll.
Hmm.
Barbering is the way to go. When I went to the thing, I was like, a haircut costs $40 now. I was like, remember, it used to cost $10 to $15.
Yeah, say it again, Mavis, for this one. Say
it again. $10 to $15. It's $40 for a haircut now.
Yeah.
Nah.
When I often tell people we're the only ones that can give ourselves a raise.
That's right.
Yeah.
You get a raise on your job. Why can't I get a raise?
Yeah, some of them don't understand that.
Yeah. You're paying for the long-term care. You're paying for the disability. You're paying for all of that. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always tease him about his price when he used to cut my hair. He's like, the price is the price. My price is the price. You know? And I'm like, hey, listen.
Guess what? You won't go anywhere else, would you?
I'm a very dedicated woman to my stylist. Now, I may be a little late. And my, you know, my timing might be a little off, but I'm gonna get there, and I'm gonna pay your price and your fee. You know, yesterday's price is not today's price, and I get it. You know,
I have plenty of people come back to me after they've been somewhere else, and they want to talk about their bad experience. I don't be wanting to hear. I'm like, well, you should have stayed here.
That's right.
I really don't even give them no conversation. I just cut the hair. Now you see.
Mm-hmm. What's one of the things that you feel or that you've seen doing, you know, Black women's hair, things that we lack and we should really pay close attention to when it comes to the needs of our hair?
You remember, you know, back in the day when our parents, consistency. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of consistency when it comes to building a relationship between you and I.
Right. Because,
of course, what the consumer does, they add us to their monthly bills. You know, we become one of their bills. And a lot of times when it comes down to it, do I have to choose this light bill over getting my hair done? Guess what? I'm going to choose that light bill.
Mm-hmm.
But inconsistency, also lack of communication on our part as far as educating a consumer, what things can they do? When you're in my absence, please call me. Do not go to a discount store, buy something for your hair. Because guess what? You're looking at your hair as an invaluable piece. And then when you do come back to me, guess what? Don't be mad because of the charge that I'm going to charge you. Because simple fact, if you only ask me and we built the rapport, you can come get these tools in my salon versus going somewhere, paying XYZ. And then you come back and you have created this huge mess that I have to repair. And I think COVID really taught a lot of stylists about that. Now the consumer can't get to us. So what do we do? We lack that part of retailing.
Yeah.
We don't even start discussing retailing or products that we have in the store. We just allow them to get up from the chair and go to beauty discount store and buy 10,000 products underneath their sink instead of teaching a consumer, yes, if I use this product on your hair, this I'm going to retail this to you. That's what I want you to do. So I can kind of gauge if something is off, then okay, now we have to look at your diet because the simple fact I gave you a brand name product and I know it works, but something else you're not getting either. You didn't tell me about the change of your diet, change in medication, you're going through a breakup, going through some stress or something. That just shift you to the point that something's just imbalanced in the body.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate on health. So yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get into Miss Mavis in the Scrimp Shack. Tell us about how did this relationship form?
How did it form? How did Scrimp Shack come about? Because, you know, Scrimp Shack been there before I launched a new location where we are. Mm-hmm. And I used to go there every day. You wanted some fish, whatever, you go next door, you get some fish, and anything of it. Until the brand started, you know, going down and what have you. And then the new franchisee, the owners brought it back from the last person, what have you. So they came in and during that time, they re-gutted the whole store, what have you. And I got an opportunity to meet one of the CEOs of Scrimp Shack. His name was Mr. Chaz Crenshaw. And he was a Black guy and just amazing guy in itself. And what he does to the what he does for his community. He's from Virginia. We have over 30 stores in the franchise and what have you.
Wow.
So I would come over there time to time or what have you. Then I would call them back. I was like, Mr. Chaz, they're not doing this. They're not doing this. They didn't speak when they come in the door. My presentation of the food was yucky. I'm not coming over there. So we would talk from time to time or whatever. He's talking about, what you think about franchising a scrim chat? I was like, I do hair. What I look like, scrim, what a scrim chat, whatever. What I'm going to do? You never know until you get in it. So just talking throughout the 6 months and what have you, I said, okay, I need another stream. I need something else to do. I need something that's going to challenge this mentally and what have you. My husband, we talked about it and what have you. He's on a corporate piece. I'm the driving piece. He's on a corporate piece. I was like, okay, I'm not waiting for you. But I did bring it to his attention before I really step foot into this new adventure of Scrimp Shack. He was very supportive. But I had to, because I'm a go-getter, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it behind your back. But when he find out, he's going to be really mad at me that I made this decision without him. But I kept talking to him. I was like, babe, you know, this is one of the things that we can add. This is another stream of revenue. You can be on a corporate piece because that's what you do. You can bring a lot to that the organization is missing. And he spoke to Mr. Chaz and what have you. We sat down and we kind of sealed the deal. So I didn't know in the beginning it was a lot of work involved. First and foremost, transforming the people that's already in there.
So you kept the same people that was already working
in. Yeah, they're amazing. Yes. The key is that, as my husband said, I went in, I shrunk, I got rid of all of the bad seeds, and then we're in a rebuilding process. So I think we are leveled water now. Like she said, when she went in, the presentation of the food has changed. The attire has changed, and how they interact with the consumer has changed. Mm-hmm. So the key is that I think with any business, like my business, as well as the Shrimp Shack or any business, the key is that just imparting structure. Because I want structure. I want consistency. I want every time if I purchase something, to the presentation must wow me. And if the presentation doesn't wow me, I'm not coming back. Or even when you come into in anyone's restaurant, you greet the person. Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A greets you with my pleasure. And what you're going to do, you're going to buy chicken every time. You're going to come back and buy chicken every time. The presentation was on point. They spoke to me and I wasn't in line over 20 minutes. I said, okay, I need to know more about that. So getting into it, I spent a lot of time with the team. We just had some corporate people come in last week, and they were amazed that, you know, this Black lady, tell me the secret with this Black lady. And one of the guys asked me, so who is your business partner and who is your coach? I said, my husband.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Period. He is my business coach and he is my mentor. He's an, you know, extraordinary. He's very, very smart. You know, he's a Kappa person. You know, very smart.
He has a history in
corporate. He's in the financial banking industry. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's in banking. What does he do? She know about it, and
because I talked to him for about 20 minutes.
He's got more zeros than I do. That's all.
he's in compliance, regulatory, you know, consulting. He's been in operations, management operations within the financial industry for a very long time. So he knows numbers, he knows deals, he knows rules, regulations, federal guidelines, regulatory. He knows all those things. And how do I know? Because I talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's some kind of in your lines, right?
It is. We have.
Yeah, they.
Oh yeah, she's gonna try
to get him here. She's gonna try to get him here.
Mm-hmm. We have of course he's much more mature, but we have a similar background. Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how was the training for that restaurant? Did you have to go through some training?
I was more hands-on, per se. Okay. And common sense. I did a lot of common sense strategies. I did research it on YouTube, and I was constantly reading to understand this thing. I was like, this is a whole lot of work. I probably need to just open up another salon. But again, you know, God said, I'm going to put you on pedestals that you're not even prepared for.
Right.
I'm going to have you, I'm going to present you at a door that you haven't even knocked on yet. I already knocked on it for you and the door's already open.
Yeah.
24, I said, I'm going for it. I'm going for it.
Yes, that's what I always encourage people to, even like, so like you did, you went into something not really knowing how to do it, mm-hmm. but you had the faith to step out and do it.
Mm-hmm. And something outside of her comfort zone, right? So hair, scrimp shack, you right. know, talk to people, you like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like you took the action to, you know, you wanted to do something better or bigger. Mm-hmm. You go learn along the way.
And this is it. This is a whole totally different platform for me.
Right.
But I'm excited. I work at every day. I go see the team. What I do, I put a client under. I go down for 50 minutes and I go back up. They don't even know when I'm coming. So that's a great thing about I'm not too far from them.
Hmm. I was about to ask you, were you in the same complex?
No, I said I work at my other salon.
Yeah, but so you have to leave. You have to drive there, or you can walk down.
It's about a half a block away or so away.
Oh, okay.
You know where Holt School Road is?
Not offhand, but I'm pretty sure.
Off of Duke Street. Well, okay, it's a couple blocks away. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you have salon suites near it, right?
Uh-huh. Right beside it. Mm-hmm. Shrimp, Into Hair is beside Scrimp Shack. And Indigo Hat Gallery is right up the street.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right up the street. Mm-hmm.
So has the restaurant held up to your expectations?
Great. And we still have a lot of work to do because this store used to generate over $150,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And when I was there at my other salon, people would be standing out the door to get some fish. Mm-hmm. So the brand, I believe in a brand because I told, you know, the corporate people, if I touch it, that means what? I'm going to put 110% in it.
Right.
If I didn't believe in a brand, if I didn't know that I can contribute 110%, I wouldn't touch it.
Do you foresee yourself opening up another franchise, another Scrimp Shack somewhere else? Maybe
that's what they said. We are working on in the next year and a half, open up the model store, how we want it. You know, we have it on paper. Paper corporate is talking about how they want the new model to look like. So with my input, my husband's input, the next model is going to be bigger. I think some stores have alcohol. You can have a bar.
Okay.
So a lot of things that we're going to try to impart in our launching the next store in the next year and a half.
Did you hear that? You said a bar.
Listen.
He said, I can have it now, but it's a lot of logistics around that. You have to have someone 24 hours on duty and all of that stuff. So,
Would you plan on opening it in North Carolina?
We don't know.
You don't know yet? Mm-mm. I heard it.
I'm just going to have fun with this one. I love the people. Right. You know, like I said, I think I still have the manager there. And I think some of his challenges were on the platforms. He didn't really do social media. You know, I'm a social media person. So a lot of people have come in. Even before, when I used to do live, walk next door and get the big sandwich and come back and do live, a lot of people said, well, maybe sent me here. So that was a good thing because now you have to understand where your traffic is coming from. You want to know that, you know, the geographics of your people. So I said, make sure you tell them Mavis sent you. So it was one day when we had an opening, we had over 50 people just me alone saying, okay, come to Shrimp Shack. So now the team is great as far as using their social media and their, you know, marketing tools or what have you. I just reposted and we just keep it moving.
I got to take me a visit over there.
Oh yeah. The food.
I give you a discount. Anytime when you go, just say Mavis sent me. They know what to do.
Okay.
Look, he excited. I'm going tomorrow.
I can't make it tomorrow.
We do have a Shack Pack where it's like a simple platter. You can get your fish of choice. You can get grilled shrimp or fried shrimp. You can get some hush puppy fries and a drink for $12.91.
That's good. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I can bring your team something. You just call me and I put the order and I bring it to you.
Okay, we do that.
Okay. I'll do a special chip for you.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't want you to do that. I'm coming there to get it. I bring them over there.
Okay, great. Please do. Like I said, we got you.
Yeah. I told her I was going to bring my friends, a lot of my friends who do social media, and we'll, you know,
I can't wait.
And all of that for her and post them. You know, my friends, we all.
I said amazing. You know, God has put me in the path of such amazing people like you guys. I've seen you before. Doesn't Janelle work with you?
Yeah, she do. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You never seen me?
You been in there before?
Yes.
I think I have. I'm not sure, but I believe I have. Yeah.
Yes, because you saying like, who is that girl right there?
That sounds like you.
I am nosy.
He's like, who was that? Jen was like, yes, Mavis. It's like, oh, that's Mavis. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess I did meet you before then.
You did.
Yeah. Okay.
I was trying to steal Janelle from you, but she wasn't leaving.
Exactly. I remember. Yeah. I remember.
Girl, okay, you stay where you at, honey. If you've been here 100 years, girl, stay where you at.
Okay.
It's hard to come across dedicated people. So stay where you at.
Yeah, Janelle, mm-hmm. She's real good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you now. Okay.
Would you think about having any barbers in your shop, or do you have any barbers? I don't even think I asked you that.
Who, me?
Mm-hmm. In one of your suites, a barber?
It's kind of hard because barbers need to be with barbers. You know, I had one coming. But I knew it was going to kind of be difficult for him because the simple fact, he's in a salon with lots of women.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his world of barbering.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you have a lot of clientele where he, you know,
mm-hmm.
managed, but yeah.
Yeah. But again, you know, he didn't believe in his faith. You know, we was next door to Scrimp Shack and he would have monopolized on it, but you got to step out.
Yeah.
But I said, I understand. You can go back. It's fine. He came and I got everything set up. And then he was like, Mavis, I have to go back.
Yeah.
And I was kind of pissed at him, but I understood. I understood.
He wasn't ready.
No, he wasn't ready to step out. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, with Shrimp Shack, this is a really new step for me in a new arena. Because one of the corporate guys, they asked me that. All it is, what I have done, just my practices over the years in business, what have you, and I just took them and placed them there, you know, with structures, understanding people, how to build a team, looking at the team players that there was already there. And they just needed some guidance. Once you sit down with them, and I told them, I have value in all of you guys. And when I had to do the research of people making the minimum wage in North Carolina is $7. I'm like,
you get what you pay for.
That was really heartbreaking. I had to go pay the lottery. But no, it was really heartbreaking. And I said, I want to build value in you guys because a lot of times we get on jobs and people just want a body. I don't want a body. If you can't contribute 100% of yourself the way I could pour back into you guys, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is that you want to raise. This store needs to make money. So if we make money, guess what? I'm going to give you the profits. I don't care. Because guess what? You guys are doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pour back into you guys because it's heartbreaking. I want to pay you $50 an hour, whatever. But, you know, the minimum wage and what the other stores are, it's just heartbreaking. But
yeah.
So do you have to, start them out at the minimum wage?
No. What I had to do is come with a medium. Like,
okay.
Say for instance, when they start you out with $12, mm-hmm. I want to start you out with $14 or $15. But if my projections don't meet it yet, I can't do it. But eventually, we're gonna work there. But I want to start you out at no, what have you, at least $13 or $14. Okay. I'm gonna try to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you have to be kind of on the same kind of wavelength as, you know, your other surrounding fast food chains around there. But again, I offer something different too.
Yeah.
I respect too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say it again. You offer what?
Respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People.
I don't cross the boundaries with you and you don't cross the boundaries with me. I told all of them, I'm friendly and I'm not your friend.
Right. Yeah.
And that's my motto. If we can keep that, we good because simple fact, one time when you lack, someone's going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
In which we do. And it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I keep it what have you. Don't get comfortable with me, because I would never get comfortable with you. Because at the end of the day, when I feel like that you're not pulling your weight, guess what? That door always says what? We're hiring.
Yeah. how many workers do you have?
It's 12 of them.
12 of them. So mm-hmm. do you have, they've been with you since you started?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They was there before. And again, okay. And I had a meeting with everyone, and then I had an individual meeting.
Yeah, because a lot of companies now are having a hard time keeping people, and people mm-hmm. leaving, hiring, and so that's a good thing.
They did have a high turnover in the beginning, but mm-hmm. again, you have to get to know the people, mm-hmm. you know, that want to be there and want to be a part of this amazing brand. Scripture. It is an amazing brand. And like I said, if we can reach those numbers, guess what? I don't mind giving you the profit, because you guys did the work. You guys are amazing. And I tell them that every day, you guys are amazing. Thank you for coming in, because this is not an easy job, standing back there 6-7 hours and moving that screen and making sure the presentation is good, making sure the presentation is food is delivered, making sure everything, because I look at presentation. No, send that back. That we're not sending. We're not serving that. We don't mm-hmm. do that. Okay, I'm sorry, maybe I'm sorry. Okay, I understand you're busy. If I have to come back there, you show me how to do it, but this would not go out. Because we're better than that. They're like, okay. So the key is that just pouring something into them and making them believe, because one day, guess what? One of you guys can manage this store. I have a store. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. It doesn't. Anybody can be a millionaire today. It doesn't matter. It's all in here changing your mindset, how you view you first. That's the key. That's what I ask them. How do you view you?
Mm-hmm. What's the average age of your employees?
From 20 to 55.
Okay. I think what makes it unique as a manager and how I manage is, you know, you get their buy-in, right? You tell them your expectation of them, and then, but you get their buy-in. So what she said was, you know, you're here working. If you make money, I don't care about the profit, because I see the future of where this can go if you work for me. She got their buy-in. They're like, wow, okay. Well, it's not like she's money hungry. So she's saying, you work, I'm gonna pay myself first, and then y'all get the scratch. She's saying, you do the work and you'll see it and it'll come. Mm-hmm. And so that's how she got their buy-in. And that's where the longevity is gonna stay, because you mm-hmm. don't see that with all of the other commercialized fast food chains, you know, your McDonald's, even your Chick-fil-A, you know, they offer other things, you know, that they get their employees buy-in, but you don't see that with other chains. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think you're going to excel in your craft, is, you know, how you manage your employees. And hopefully you won't continuously have that turnover that the previous, you know, that they had previously. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping they see the value in your truth.
Yeah. I love that. Course. You know, I represent it, and I wouldn't tell them anything that I wouldn't do. Like I said, I wouldn't do anything I wouldn't ask of you to do. Mm-hmm. If I ask you to clean the bathroom, guess what? I'll go clean the bathroom. I'm not cleaning the bathroom, but again, I would do it. You mm-hmm. know, I'm here with you guys. So, and they see that from day one, since I have the little changes that we put in place, they feel really excited about it. So like I said, changing the culture of wearing, they used to wear hoodies and with Shrimp Shack on it in the front. No, that's not cute. Women, we're not wearing hoodies. Mm-hmm. If it's cold, put on a coat. But we're not wearing hoodies. You're not standing in a hoodie behind this register. Not happening. So I had corporate to order them all new suits. All new shirts.
You froze. She's froze. That. She got put in the freezer.
Put in the freezer. That's amazing.
Yeah, hope she'll come back. Get on. Mm-hmm. But yes. That is amazing. I wanted to ask her, was that was it, how many Black owned Scrimp Shacks there are?
Yeah.
Next question. Hope she comes back.
You gonna franchise a Scrim Shack?
No. Mm-mm. Something I won't do.
Not the restaurant business. I mean, it's still hospitality, no matter what.
Yeah, it is. But they say that restaurant business is one of the hardest ones. That's what I was gonna ask her about that too. How hard it is to do, as far as some people say it's a rough thing on the restaurant. Yeah.
Do you think it's different from like a restaurant, starting a restaurant from the ground up?
Yeah.
And then, oh, there she is. And then coming back, I guess we can ask her.
She's back.
Yeah.
what was that? Well, I was going to ask you how a lot of people say it's hard running a restaurant. I know you said it was hard in the beginning and started. Have anybody told you the most challenging parts of keeping a restaurant open?
It's just like any business. I'll say, for instance, it was hard for me in the beginning running a salon, you know, right. People coming and going, what have you. So if I had to say, just treating people with dignity and respect, and try to find solutions to problems. And I told them, I said, like, every problem, I'm not a psychologist, for one. I'm not here to be a psychologist. But tell me the problem, and then I'm going to put it back in your lap. What would you do if you were in my shoes? What would be the solution to this problem? Because then they think about it and be like, oh, the problem isn't as big as I thought it was. Sometimes you don't let them create the problem and make it this big without finding a bleed and capping that bleed before it gets any further. But I think in the restaurant industry, just staying true, just being consistent to yourself and to the brand and to the people that work for you. I could say anything you do starting outside what I've been used to doing for 20 years is a challenge. I love a challenge. And I think for my husband, as he says, any business would run with principles.
Mm-hmm.
Principles and procedures. If those are adequately ran, guess what? You can be anywhere in the world and still run your business, because simple fact, you already have the systems that are already set in place.
Right.
So I think that's what we're lacking in business today, is systems, understanding systems. They are a crucial part to your business.
Right.
And I had to go back and do a lot of reading and research and sending stuff to my husband. I said, hey, give me some systems that are going to work. I mean, this is what you do. I need you here. You need to be here. So I think one thing about Clayton and I, that we do a lot of talking in the decisions that would affect us. That was hard for me in the beginning, you know, allowing someone to lead and have an input and follow them. But I had, you know, that came with a lot of trust, because, you know, me, it was kind of hard trust in the beginning, but with him being, you know, patient and understanding, and just listen to him and see his work ethic and, you know, how, what he does when he's in his corporate events and all of this stuff. I said, if they trust in him with all of the stuff he's responsible for, I can trust him on this.
Oh yeah.
Is your son ready to be the manager at Scrim Shack? He already telling folks what they should be doing.
No, my son is totally different. He's a gamer.
Oh.
Many kids today, they want to be gamers.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want any responsibility but a phone.
You can get paid in that too if we do it the right way.
Exactly. I'm sure. Yeah. She gonna help him create a game and start selling it.
Mm-hmm. No, he's already doing it. Clayton is teaching him the financial literacy piece.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's, you know, good. I think that's what's needed in our community.
Oh,
financial
mm-hmm.
literacy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started on my rant.
We already talked about that.
We're trying to get these people to invest.
What? Oh, I'll yeah.
I'll be trying to get people to invest.
No. Oh, yeah, you should. I mean, he's great at that. And of course, you know, me, I do that as well, because we don't think 20 years from now, hey, it's 20 years and what do we have invested? You find our stylists today, 60 and 70, still standing behind a chair.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't never think that we would still be standing here. I'm 70 and still have to stand behind this chair.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we talked about that, how the retirement age, the needle keeps moving.
It's 67. It's 67 now.
Did it go up even more? I thought it went up.
I looked at it last night, 67. Yeah, 67. It's crazy.
My mama called me about that last week.
Did she?
You better have enough investing for him, for her then, to take care of her.
Yeah,
because this Social Security is not going to be around when we reach that retirement age.
Yeah. Yep. See? Enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
While you can.
You can make money using this and still enjoy life. It's all in. Because with me, I knew I wanted to live a certain lifestyle. Well, guess what? How I'm going to live that certain lifestyle, I have to use this.
Yep.
In order to work for me.
Right.
Balance.
There you go. It's really hard. It's really hard. Still trying to balance and manage everything. That's why I told my husband, you need to come home because I'm tired of you being a virtual husband and a virtual father. I'm still, because I'm out of the home. Mm-hmm. And then when my husband get home from school, or if I'm at the restaurant, I will have to Uber him and my sister over to his boxing, still trying to keep him active, boxing. And then he comes to the restaurant and then we go home. So I do this 5 days a week, paying for Uber to still get to his extracurricular activities.
I mean, wow. Until he's able to drive, of course, you know.
Yeah.
A couple more years.
Mm-hmm. Also, coming up, I'm teaching a masterclass. What is it? Bags, business, and what is it? Bags, bucks, and business, and how to utilize your business credit to get the things that you need with grants. I have a co-partner. She writes grants and she's going to teach that piece of grants or what have you. And I teach structuring your business to make sure that you can get funding, because a lot of times we're still using our money or using our personal assets to fund our business.
Uh-huh.
Once I have the strategy, you don't need to do that. First and foremost, your credit has to be good. A lot of people need to understand credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with still some credit cards, they still ask for the personal guarantee. But there are credit cards and business cards that you can use without touching any of your personal. So we teach in a master class on that.
Coming up
soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See. Date already?
Huh?
You have a date already?
We still writing the ebook.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're still writing the ebook on that. It's coming soon. I may just still have the ebook in the making, but we can have a virtual class or what have you. Like I said, just giving back, for simple fact, I have gotten several grants. Mm-hmm. I even wrote a grant using AI and I got 20,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Leon, you better hop on. There you go.
I know you.
I had a meeting with someone yesterday. I'm going to set up a calendar where I can talk to you for an hour. You kind of brainstorm where you are and what you're trying to do. How much money? Right. How much money you're gonna need to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a grant. That's how I opened my second location with grants. I didn't have to use my SBA money.
Right.
I used the grant money that my girlfriend wrote the grant, and we got 20,000. We got 40,000 total.
Really?
Wow. The key is that when you're writing grants and they're giving you this money, people, they want to see it, because social media has kind of messed us up as far as you can be in Belize somewhere, but you're spending the grant money that was used for your business and you're doing something totally different. That's like really stupid.
Right. Mm-hmm. I looked at one grant. Matter of fact, I think it was SBA. Was it SBA grant? Some kind of grant, but it had some funny stipulations to it. So I ain't looking no more.
Like what?
I can't even remember. It's something about I want to say it says something about you had to, I don't know, don't even get me the line, but it was something nothing I can do. So
you have to choose the grants that caters to you, not all grants. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I need to talk to you about some grants, because I don't, and not for no barbershop, nothing, need something different. So
Doesn't matter. They have 10,000 grants out there. Like I said, the key is that I constantly research grants. So when I go on the platforms or whatever, I see what they're doing. I constantly research what they're doing to see if it's actually true or not. So mm-hmm. I'm constantly doing this. And when I do that, I either demonstrate it myself and see if it actually works. Mm-hmm. Like I say, you can get, I was telling one guy, I have over $150,000 just in business money just sitting there because mm-hmm. of the tiers, you know, how I built on the credit. Like you can go to Sam's Club and not use your personal guarantee on your business side. All you need is a business account and your EIN number. Mm-hmm. And I got 20,000.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't realize how much money that he had on the business side that he can utilize to fund whatever he wants to do. So the key is that you having all that money, make sure that you pay the money back.
Yeah, that's the one thing people got to realize. I got another bank who trying to give me a loan. I'm like, no, I don't want it because I ain't trying to do nothing with it right now. But I can go get it anytime I want to.
Well, do something else with it.
I don't know what I want to do yet.
Where'd she go?
Okay.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah, do something else with it. But again, it's a lot of information out there. And when I got like really into it, I was excited that I can take this information and help someone that's struggling, that don't understand, can get to the next level.
Now, in that your ebook and your that you're creating and also
Rewet.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, me.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear Lena?
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you guys.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Let's see. Mute and unmute her. See if that works.
Mute. Unmute.
Say can something. Because we can hear you. You can't hear us?
Nope.
You still can't hear us?
I can't hear you guys.
What happened?
Text her and see. She probably had to come back in.
She is. I want to ask her about starting a business. Will she have like, you know, how do you start a business? Say you have a business in mind that you want to do. Mm-hmm. Will that help someone? There she is. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now. Uh-huh.
Now, with your ebook, will it also help like new people who want to start a business but don't know where to start? Like, say I have an idea, but I don't know how to start with that idea, you know, name, LLC, all of those things.
Yes and no. My ebook is geared to you already in business and what have you. You already have those things set up, but we do, if you're already in business, you're thinking about business and you probably mm-hmm. already have your EIN number, you probably already have your bank account, mm-hmm. your name and your business already registered. You're just the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And I can piece the pieces that fill in those blanks that you're missing.
Okay.
But don't think about the business. Go ahead on and get your EIN number, get your business account, get your business phone number. Get your business checking account and get it registered. And you're there.
Yeah, just have a sit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of barbers, maybe a lot of stylists too, that don't necessarily own the barbershop, whatever. They don't know that they can get their own LLC.
Open mm-hmm.
So a lot of them don't know that. Then mm-hmm. you got some who don't want to do it.
Now the key is that it's separating your assets from you. Because mm-hmm. if you're still in the mindset of a sole proprietorship, what if something happened, they taking your house, your car, everything and what have you. But if you separate it, it's two different entities. They can sue the business, but and you keep and not have them touch your private, your personal assets. So again, it's a splitting of assets or what have you.
Yeah.
Then it puts you on a whole new different ballpark mm-hmm. as far as having your own LLC.
All right.
Didn't know that. I gotta do some research.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, those are some benefits of having your own LLC and having it structured under that business entity.
Mm-hmm.
Then also for women, for minority women, they have tons and tons of grants that are out there that you can get and apply, and you don't even realize that the first thing they want is you're Black and you're minority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you read a lot of grants, they have that. They want Black minority women.
I need to read up on this. Mm-hmm. Some good information we got going on here.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah, it's a lot.
People, she's dropping gems. Dropping gems. We got to hold off for the ebook. And you said the ebook. And what else are you having? Like an event?
Yeah. A masterclass. I think it's going to be in July. I think it's in Atlanta. But I may talk to my partner and do something before then. I did delay it because of the simple fact the restaurant came about, but we may just do a 2-hour, sipping wine event or something. You know, on a Sunday, you come and sip wine, and let's sit around the table and talk business. Where do you want your business to go? And what are you missing in your business? Maybe we can help you.
I like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, guess what? I didn't use any of my money to franchise this business.
The restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
Great.
We do.
A lot of folks just don't know what to do or how to do.
Yeah, or where to start, I would say. That's the biggest thing, is knowing where to start. But, you know, we're going to have to take that masterclass or the sip and learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm down to take it, you know, anything. I like to diversify.
You can just sip. She go be there.
Whatever I'm sipping, I'm diversifying my money at the same time. And I love that for me. So that's just what I do. But
I was just saying that I think that this information that would help our Black community, you know, because we've been Black for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's part of just reading and researching, asking yourself where you want to be in the next 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. I know.
And so many ways we have so many ways now to learn more than we ever learned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can't keep making excuses no more. Mm-hmm. Some people do. A lot of people do make excuses. And what I've found is a lot of people want things and want more, but don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing where we gotta put in the work. So sometimes we gotta say no to a lot of things, but we know that, you know, down the line it's gonna be greater later. So sacrifices to get what you want.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't even want to learn how to get it. You know what? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Or they get it and they're not spending it on the right thing. And that's where we getting picked up at the airports and that, you know, the houses and stuff at, you know, those loans, misusing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should not be doing that. Mm-hmm. Good people. Say it again.
It's going to come back and bite you. The key is that once you understand it and then how it works, then you can kind of pick it apart and play with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to pick it apart before you understand how it works, that's where you get in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
Learn. It's the shortcut of doing it.
Yeah. It's like even with taxes. Now, once you start learning that game, I mean, it's ways to pay less on taxes or pay no taxes or pay a very small amount of taxes.
Listen, my goal is always to break even every year.
Or break even.
You know, I owe sometimes, I'm gonna be honest, but for the most part, I like to break even, you know?
Like, we was way over the budget. I said, well, you're gonna have to find a way. You're gonna have to go back to the drawing board again, because I ain't paying a dime back. Figure it out. That's why you're like, okay, yes. Find over something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we gonna find Clayton's cousin. He went my way, but he, you know, with the same same work ethic and, you know, path. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. But Mavis Peaks, good people, ending Black History, Women's History Month, Women's Black History Month. I'm going to put that on there with a bang.
Women's Black History Month. Okay. You mm-hmm.
I made it my own month, Women's Black History Month.
Well, and we are part of that month, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we ended it with a boss.
Well, Mavis, any last words you'd like to have?
Yes.
Continue the journey. Yeah, this is for me. I look back on my past and I'd be like, God, thank you. Because if you didn't take me there, I don't think I would have become the woman that I am today.
Right.
So continue the journey, enjoy life, because we only get one life. You right. did how you want to live your life. No one else. And that's what I want to give back to my community. You dictate your circumstances. Don't mm-hmm. let no one dictate it for you.
Right. You are
the outcome of changing the trajectory how you want this outcome to come. You are in control of that. You put God first, and He got you. And I can say that through this process of the ordeal, where I come from, where I am today, it wasn't nothing but God.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, she told us her background, her story, how she got here. Nothing but God.
Nothing but God. And I sit back and be like, God, you know, this is amazing. And when corporate people came and I was like, am I ready for this? I was kind of got nervous because everything was drawn at me and people were like, you know, like want to ask me questions or whatever. I said, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but you know, my husband said, calm down. You got this. So I went in the bathroom, came back, and I was like, you know, I got this. You know,
yes.
This. Yeah, start doing something new. You're always nervous again and excited. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Excited, so.
God for something. You can't ask him and beg and push back. No. When he's ready for you, when he's ready to elevate you, you just got to be ready.
Right.
I'm ready.
I like it. And that's how you impel forward.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Well, I'll be over there to get me some scrimp.
The reels, I was like, and once I was making a reel, I had to do it like 10 times because I was like, scrimp does not sound right. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's scrimp. Mm-hmm. It's shrimp. I was saying shrimp, but I had to keep telling myself it's scrimp. But scrimp. Welcome to Scrimp Chat. How can I help you?
Yeah. You got some people who say scrimp.
Yeah.
They say scrimp.
right.
It's scrimp.
Scrimp. Well, this was a good episode. Nice talking to you. And we'll be in touch. Y'all make sure y'all go visit. How can people find you? On Facebook?
3600 North Duke Street. Suite 36A. Beside Into Hat Gallery.
Into Hat Gallery. And you on Instagram. What's your Instagram and Facebook?
Mavis Peaks or Pixie Chick on Facebook. Mavis Peaks, you can find me there.
All right. There you have it for another episode of the Impel Forward podcast. Make sure you seize the opportunity to reach your dreams. Stay tuned to the next episode.
Peace. Yay!
Thank you.